Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
I love birthdays. I really do. And this is an exciting day to celebrate. I never thought about it until today that we get to all celebrate together this glorious day, because this is the day when God poured out his Spirit on the early church, and it exploded overnight, and the harvest came in, and souls were won. And it was a move of a Spirit that was so electric that it spread throughout all the world. So today is known as Pentecost. And you know what? I'm believing that God can do it again. I'm believing that there can be Pentecost 2.0. And when he poured out his Spirit, Pentecost is a feast. It's a celebrate the harvest kind of feast, a feast of weeks, the feast of Pentecost. And that was the first outpouring of his Spirit was the early rain. The first launch of a deluge of water upon the church, where his Spirit was poured out and so many were saved, and the church just exploded. But you know what was also beautiful about the church is that when it was birthed, it also came together in community. It came together, they were knit together. And there, the Spirit of the Lord was so present that they were gathering in homes. It says, and they met in homes day by day by day. I mean, come on. I love y'all, but I mean, meeting every day, that's a supernatural work of God. I mean, come on. But they were meeting day after day in the homes and breaking bread and having fellowship. And they were listening to the apostles' teachings, and there was miracles, there was prayer. I mean, it was electric. You talk about home groups coming alive. The Spirit of the Lord was knitting hearts together, and they were in one accord. And so in that, there's an understanding that there is the early rain, but there's also a latter rain. And let me explain. Let's look at Joel 2, verse 23 to 24. Oh, rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication, and he's poured down for you the rain, the early rain, and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of the grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I mean, in Israel, rain is always a sign of the blessings of God upon you. And it's much needed during harvest time to have the rains to come. And there are generally two rainy seasons that are mentioned in the scripture. It is the early and the former rain. The former is the autumn rain. And that's when it's in October to November, and the earlier is October, and then the latter spring rain is one in the March, which is actually now, which is called the latter rain. And during these different seasons, there's obviously in the early rain, there's the planting of the seed, there's the getting the ground ready, and then even in the latter rain, there's the harvest time where things are mature and the crops come in. And during this season that we're in, you know, some of you might have been planting a lot of seeds in your own life. And you're planting seeds of faith, in that you're believing for God to move upon your life, your business, your family. You want a breakthrough in your life. And you're sowing seeds of faith and asking the Lord to move on your behalf. And then all of a sudden, there's the outpouring of his Spirit, where there's a breakthrough, where there's restoration, where God makes all things new. And in that, what you've been believing for and sowing into is now coming to pass in your life. Zechariah 10:1 says this, "Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain, the latter rain." You know, it just right, it might be the season right now in your life where God really wants to pour out his Spirit upon that in which you've been laboring for, hoping for, and believing for, and asking him to do on your behalf. There's a time of sowing and reaping. And prayer really positions you to receive what he really wants to give you. And in that, your prayers, the cry of your heart, allows God to intervene on your behalf and move power and do the impossible. I mean, are there some things that you're believing for and hoping for that really in the natural looks impossible right now? And so as you're contending for those things, as you're believing for those things, it's all of a sudden when it's the Lord who pours out his rain upon you and really brings revival in your life. He revives you once again. And I want to share kind of an illustration with you that helps you understand this. There's a really unique region in South Africa, in Namibia. It's called Namaqualand. Anybody heard of Namaqualand? So you've heard of that. Wonderful. Okay, so you can teach right now. I like, well, if you, it's really a very unusual place because for many months there's no rain at all. It's dry, it's barren, and the whole land is dry and without any real vegetation at all. I mean, it really looks like a desert. But however, when the spring rains fall, the whole region becomes the most glorious pageant of colorful flowers that you have ever seen before. And if we could, is there any way we could pull up those pictures? Okay. I mean, this is your land.
It's my land.
Do you have another one too? Is there another picture? It's the most beautiful area. Well, the lighting's really, but it's gorgeous. I mean, the whole land comes alive in all of these beautiful flowers. But it's everything. If you saw that months before, it's barren. It's dry. You can't see anything. You can't even recognize. It's like, wow, this is a really fun place to live. But all of a sudden, when the rains come, the beauty comes forth and the flowers bloom. But it takes the rain to germinate the seeds. It takes the rain of God to germinate the seed that's in your heart to bring about the harvest, to bring about the glory, the majesty, the breakthrough that you want in your life. It takes the water of the Spirit to germinate that seed of faith that you have in your heart so things might come alive. So in that, I believe that really, honestly, I believe the church in America right now is kind of like Namaqualand. Is that how you say it? Namaqualand? Say it again. Say it again.
Namaqualand.
Oh, I like that. Okay. So, all right. So, I mean, in that region, what we got to believe is that we all have this Namaqualand. Namaqualand. Okay. And we're waiting on the rain of the Spirit of God. And in that, God wants to pour out his Spirit upon the dormant seeds in your heart so he can display his majesty and his beauty in your life. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you, he's watering all of these seeds of faith that you've been planting in your heart and believing for. And I believe that what God wants to do, I believe in America, it is dry and barren right now. And we need the outpouring of his Spirit so that we can see revival in this land. We can see revival in our own personal lives. We can be awakened once again to the reality that we have a Father who loves us and believes in us and died for us and has given us new life in him. So what part of are we to play for God to pour out his Spirit on us once again? Well, I want you to look at, we're going to look at the book of Joel. Because in the book of Joel, it really communicates kind of the picture that is right now in America. And I even believe in the church. And it's a picture of desolation. And there are no crops either in the fields or fruit on the vines. Everything was withered and destroyed. There was no food for the people or the animals. But then we read this. Let's look at Joel 2, verse 12 through 14. Return to me with all of your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. So what was required for the people at that time for God to move? It's getting desperate. It's you getting desperate for God. It's you, like that woman who was at the table and who was wanting the Lord to give some of the bread to her child to bless her, and Jesus basically, you know, denied her request. And then she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. She was desperate for God to move on her behalf and help her daughter who was bound up by the devil. And she was desperate. She was not going to give up until she got the answer of what she was, you know. Some of us give up too quick. You know, one night you might cry out to the Lord, but you forget about it the next day. God wants you to stay in it and be desperate, and there comes a tipping point. I don't know when it happens, but there's a tipping point when the cry of your heart, God says, I've got to answer. I've got to answer. I've got to pour out my Spirit upon you and give you the power, that which you've been waiting for. So as the disciples waited in the upper room for the promised Holy Spirit, God does an extraordinary thing, pouring out his Spirit. And he appeared to them as tongues as of fire, distributing and then resting on each of them. And to explain this incredible moment, as people from all over the world were gathered there in Jerusalem, Peter stands up. And to give context for what God is doing on this day at Pentecost, he stands up, and let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, Men of Judah and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Jim, that's good news. You're getting ready to get some dreams. Yeah, you qualify. See, this passage is really clear because it's describing the end of the age, actually. Because what does it say in verse 20 and 21? Before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come, before the Lord's return, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pentecost is about harvest time. It's about souls coming into the kingdom. It is about the power of God coming upon his people to give extraordinary, supernatural help to have a breakthrough and to overcome aspects of your life. And it says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord is poured out, your only response can be, God, save me. Help me. I call upon you, God. When the Spirit's poured out upon you, there's a response that comes from our hearts, because this is what we live for and are born for, to be born from above, to be born anew in the Spirit of God. So when the Spirit is poured out, people begin to stream into the kingdom of God, because there's a response to the power of God's kingdom. So there's an appeal for prayer. I just want to give you an appeal to really begin to pray a certain way. And this kind of prayer that causes God's Spirit to move upon you is called the prayer of desperation. Are you desperate enough to not let go until you get the answer of what you're crying out to God for? Are you desperate enough where you're tired of the same old thing? You're acting the same way, you're living the same way, and you're talking the same way. If your life hasn't changed, isn't it time to maybe get desperate? To change on the inside. Because after Pentecost, the disciples were changed. They were made anew. They were totally different people. Once, before Pentecost, they were fearful, hiding, sitting in the upper room, hiding for fear of the Jews, that they were going to kill them like they killed Jesus. After Pentecost, woo! Katie barred the door. It's like, we don't even recognize you all, but we know you've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. We can see that because you're different. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. The Holy Spirit can break an addiction in your life like this. He can break addiction in a heartbeat. But if you have addictive patterns going on in your life, and you're acting out the addiction, I mean, isn't it time to get unaddicted? Allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you and give you the power to overcome. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It gives you the power to overcome addiction. I don't know why I just mentioned addiction, but that's for someone. So you must come face to face with the reality that you and I and our nation needs Pentecost 2.0. We need the latter rain. We need God to pour out his spirit in these last days and set us free. Psalmist says in Psalm 85, God, will you revive us once again that your people may rejoice in you? Revive us once again that your people may rejoice in you. I mean, some call this revival, others call it spiritual renewal, but no matter what you call it, what the church needs today is a great move of the Holy Spirit to break up the fallow ground in our lives, pour out his spirit upon the seeds in our hearts, and let's see a harvest. Let's see fruit. Let's see lives changed and made new. But it takes the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's a lot I have to say, but the ingredient for you to receive the Holy Spirit in revival power is going to take you to get on your knees and pray. You simply getting on your knees and crying out to the Lord. Desperate means calls for desperate measures. God answers prayer, and he answers the desperate prayer of the hearts of people that need help. Prayer is really the first ingredient for you to be revived by the Spirit of God. Another ingredient is that, you know, you got to allow the Holy Spirit to search you and know you and see what's inside of you. And you know what it does? The Holy Spirit is really good about this. He brings to the light that which is in the dark. So what he does is he exposes areas in your life that you need to confess. I didn't know that was there. Well, now you do. You confess it. You repent of it. You turn from it. If you're walking this way, repentance is simply saying, "Whoa, I don't like it that way. I'm going to go this way." It's just turning around. Go the other way. It causes your heart to repent, to say, "God, forgive me for my sin." A third ingredient is it changes your behavior. You know, in Wales, when revival came to the men who worked in the mines with mules who hauled the coal, bedlam broke out when the Holy Spirit came upon them, as the miners, they stopped swearing and they stopped cursing. So the animals no longer understood them. They're like, "Woo, I don't know that word. I know that other one." So the animals wouldn't, because when they would, you know, give instructions to the animals, they would curse at them. And so they thought, well, that's how we're to respond. Well, when they stopped cursing, they had to learn whole new commands. The animals actually did. This is a fact. You could read on it on the Welsh Revival, that in the coal mines, they had to retrain their mules because they could not understand them because they didn't curse anymore. Now, that's what the Spirit of the Lord does. He takes that foul mouth out of you. Another ingredient that happens during revival is that there are sovereign acts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's accompanied by sometimes weeping, just crying. Sometimes it's just joy. Sometimes it's laughter. However the Holy Spirit moves upon you, there can be a response in you that is truly, you know, if you've been in a really tough season and all of a sudden you're laughing, that's not normal. But that's the Holy Spirit. He's setting your heart free. It's like, I can laugh once again. You know, you don't feel weighed down. You don't feel oppressed. You don't feel, oh, woe is me. The Holy Spirit is liberating you so you can laugh once again. Have some joy. Quit eating lemons. So, and then there's growth in the church. I mean, it says that the Lord added to their number daily that were being saved. Do you know that? when they were aligning themselves with the Spirit of the living God, it says that God added to themselves daily those that were being saved. And you know, growth doesn't come. I'm telling you what, worship today, woo! It was top. It was top notch. I mean, thank the Lord. Worship today was incredible. And the preaching is amazing right now. But no. But good music and good preaching does not build the church. It does not build the church. It is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that builds his church. You know, I am convinced that I in my heart, I can just sense the Holy Spirit. It's like he's brooding over us right now. And he's just waiting for that moment when he just goes whoosh and comes upon us in such power. And there's a move of his Spirit that everyone in this place is going to go low. We're going to get on our faces when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us in power. And I'm asking for the Father to pour out his Spirit once again, just like he did in Pentecost. Why not? I'm desperate. I need him. I need him in my life. It seems like the older I get, the more I need him. I need him every time I turn around a corner. I'm like, oh, I need you now. Woo. So, but I want to ask you if you would be willing to pray a prayer with me. And it's really simple, but it's a prayer of desperation. It's a prayer that says, God, unless you show up, this isn't going to be good. It's a prayer from your heart asking God to release his Holy Spirit upon you. And if you're desperate and you need God to intervene in your life, save you, change you, help you, rescue you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to come into an agreement with this prayer. And this prayer was taken from a book by Derek Prince called Prayers of Desperation. Because he says there's only some times when God will move, and that is when he hears the cry of desperation. And are you desperate enough? Are you tired enough? Do you want God to move on your behalf? Some of you have been going around the mountain a long time. Israelites kept going around the mountain, which was really a two-week journey. It ended up being 40 years. You know, some of you go around the mountain, and you come back right around, and you're like, hey, I recognize that tree. Oh, I recognize that rock. And all of a sudden, you go around the mountain again. Hey, haven't we seen this before? Isn't it time to stop going around the mountain? I mean, you just get dizzy. I mean, it's time to say enough is enough. Things have got to stop. And the only one that can stop it is the Holy Spirit. So are you tired? Are you desperate? Are you ready for more?
Yes.
Do you need a breakthrough?
Yes.
It's time. The coffee's on. Smell the coffee. It's time. So if you want, I want you to stand with me. You don't have to pray this if you don't want to. If you're not desperate, it's okay. You might be next week, and then we'll pray it again. But if you want to pray this, I want you to pray out loud with me. Daniel, is there any way, do you mind? You can pray it up there too if you want. I sure love Daniel. Amen. Oh, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray now that you would come in your power and hear the prayers of your people. For God, we are desperate for you. And we need you like never before. And we're asking today, Father, that just as you poured out your Spirit 2,000 years ago upon the church, your word says that in the last days, the latter rain, before your return, you will pour out your Spirit once again. So here we are, a Kairos moment with you, where we're believing in your word, that there was an early rain, but there's to be a former rain. And Father, we ask today that you would hear the desperate cry of our hearts. And I want you to pray with me this. Say, Father, I stand in awe of your presence. Thank you for the challenge of your word that has come to me. I cry to you for mercy. God, have mercy upon me. In judgment, remember mercy. Enable me by your grace. And by the Holy Spirit. To experience a breakthrough in prayer. To pray in desperation. For an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I ask you to draw me back to you. Father, I pray for you to move. By your Holy Spirit. To bring revival to my life and throughout the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you. Lord, your eyes are looking to and fro to show yourself faithful on behalf of those whose hearts are devoted, committed, and crying out. Lord, I'm asking today that your eyes would alight upon this place, and that, Father, you would pour out an abundance of your Spirit, Holy Spirit, come into this place and rest upon us and fill us up. For we are hungry. We are thirsting for more of you. And we worship you and we praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. If you're needing a breakthrough and you need God to move in a certain situation and you're desperate, and you would like to have somebody join with you in prayer, I'd like to ask some of the prayer team to come on up. And just, you know, if you just need God to move in a situation in your life, and you, it's either, God, if you don't show up, it's not going to look good. If you're in that place, I want you to come up and just get some prayer. And let's believe today that the Spirit of the living God is going to meet you and give you the power for the breakthrough. If you need him to move in an area in your family, in a relationship that is strained, if you need him to touch you and heal your heart that's been broken. He's come to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up our wounds. If your heart has been breaking, Jesus is the healer. And by his Spirit, he'll pour out the oil and the wine, the healing balm of Gilead, and bring healing to your heart. There are some estranged relationships that some of you has been very hurtful. It's been very hurtful. And the Lord wants to heal the pain in your heart. He wants to heal the pain in your heart of just that relational, just it broke your heart. Your heart was broken. If your heart's been broken, I want you to come forward. If you've been needing a breakthrough in your body, if you've been needing healing, the Lord wants to heal you. And lastly, the Lord says, call upon me and I will save you. If you've never truly called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, today is the day of salvation. The Lord wants to save you, deliver you, rescue you. If it's time to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to come and receive from him. Holy Spirit, we worship you and honor you in this place. We thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you hear the desperate cry of our hearts. And Lord, I'm asking that you come upon each and every one. And that, Father, that you would be gracious and kind. I thank you, Father, for your graciousness in this place. And that, Lord, I pray today you'd make your face shine upon each and every one and pour out your favor upon them and lift up your countenance upon them and give them your shalom peace. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this wonderful church. And I thank you that the greatest days are ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.